Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. I am, as always, the blue liner on point. This is, of course, the Power Play Point podcast, show number 31. And this is it, folks. This is the time of year we have all been waiting for as Caps fans. Yes, this is indeed still a Washington Capitals podcast, as is all of the other Washington Capitals podcasts you may be listening to, such as What the Puck. Going to give them a ringing endorsement now that it's springing. Speaking of spring, ooh, how about this weather? 78 degrees and climbing here in northern Anne Arundel County. Nice. Springtime. Makes me think of a lot of things. Springtime. And springtime, the only pretty hockey ring time. Birds sing, hey ding-a-ling, why you wearing that jacket? Sweet lovers love the spring. And if that weren't enough, how about this little ditty? When I set up house with Annabelle, my heart was filled with doubt. Bet it was all broken and that spring was sticking out. But when I recall our nights together, my heart it wants to sing. We kissed all through that winter and made love right through that spring. Okay. Yeah, weather does a lot to you, and it is a signal of the time of year that it is time to get serious as Caps fans about our hockey. Yes, it is, because it is now the second week of April, the NHL regular season, the 100th scheduled regular season, is now over and done with. 16 teams will go on to battle for the chalice that is the most prized and coveted trophy in all of ice hockey, dare I say all of sport in general, Lord Stanley's Cup. And I am here to provide something of a preview for all 8 matchups. And of course, the one that's near and dear to our hearts, which we now know we are facing the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that one being most important, obviously we're going to save that being best for last. Just going to give a quick rundown of the other 7 matchups. Just going to go ahead and jump right into it. Matchup numero uno, starting in the West. The Chicago Blackhawks versus the Nashville Predators. Chicago, of course, winning the Central Division. And Nashville winning the right to face the best in the West by virtue of being the worst of the 2 wild card finishers. Okay, well, let's get to the guts of it. Preds are a very scrappy team. Got a pretty decent offense. Their defense isn't what it used to be. Hell, their goaltending isn't what it used to be. Pecorine used to be something of a formidable goaltender, and I think he's beginning to show some cracks, so show some wear and tear, and I think it may have been all along that the system was, he was the benefactor of a system that we are experiencing now under Coach Barry Trotz, a sound defensive system. But the Blackhawks, let's not lie here. The Blackhawks still are the Blackhawks. They are a formidable force. They have 4 lines that can do whatever they want, whenever they want. They still have probably overall the best decor from 1 to 6, led by Duncan Keith. So I don't anticipate this series. I mean, PK Subban's very good, but he can't carry a defense all by himself, at least not down there. And yeah, this will ultimately show that the trade for Shea Weber may have been a mistake in the short term, at least for Nashville. But I think the Blackhawks will win out in this one. I know I wasn't going to said I wasn't going to make any predictions, but it seems fairly obvious to me that the Blackhawks will win out. I will be very surprised if this goes the distance. It might go 6, but I say Blackhawks in 6 in this one. Moving on to the next matchup in the West, that being the other Central Division matchup, the Wild versus the Blues. Well, I The Blues finished third in their division, but they could have easily finished second had the season gone longer. And what can I say? The Wild are in a tailspin. They got that gift point from us in our game, thanks to Trana. Thank you, you jerks. But, as bad as the Blues were, and as slumping as goalie Jake Allen was about a month and a half ago, obviously they've turned it around. I think they're one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs. So they're on a good streak. They're on a good roll. I think this first round matchup bodes well for them. I'm not going to say it's a sweep, but I'm going to say Blues in six on this one. Devin Dubnyk might steal a game, might, but that's it. So I'm going to say Blues are going to come out of that one. And I'm going to switch to the Pacific. First matchup there is the Anaheim Ducks versus the Calgary Flames. How would you like to be a Flames fan at this point? You get the announcement from your owner that says, well, you know what? We're going to need to have a new arena soon, and it's going to have to be paid by you, the taxpayers. And if you don't come up with that, we're probably going to have to move. So why? I mean, honestly, why should you back the team? Well, they got an exciting young core. With some veteran leadership, Dougie Hamilton on defense, Matthew Tkachuk as a forward, Johnny Gaudreau, of course. Lots to like there. Brian Elliott finally getting his feet on solid ground after a shaky beginning. But I don't know if the Ducks will crumble. Under that, though, they've been a pretty solid team. I think they're at least good enough. Getzlaff and Kessler et al. Will prove to be the difference. The veteran influence will prove to be the difference. And Randy Carlyle, of course, has won a cup there before. So I think the experience on the Ducks side will win out. This has a decent chance of going all seven. It may go six. I would also not be surprised if you see at least a couple of overtime games in this one. It's a lot closer than it looks, but I think the Ducks will win out eventually. I say Anaheim in six on this one. And the last Pacific Division matchup, probably the most interesting one in the West. You have the Oilers breaking their longtime playoff drought and finally making it in. Versus the Sharks, the San Jose Sharks, who are in something of a tailspin. Almost worse than, if not as bad as, the Wild. So you kind of have to wonder what's going to happen there, but I don't think this is going to be an easy out for the Oilers. I think the veteran presence of the Sharks will have an influence. You still got, of course, Big Joe and Little Joe, Messrs. Thornton and Pavelski. And, of course, Joel Ward is still on the team. We all know what he can do. And also the goaltending of Martin Jones, who isn't to be underestimated. There's a reason why they made it all the way to the conference finals and into the cup final last year. He's a lot better goalie than he seems. He doesn't seem to, not all that flashy, doesn't get all that much attention. But this will be ultimately a test of that versus how do the young players from the Oilers react to the grind of the playoffs. That being, of course, Captain Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and others, of course. So that's going to be a nice little clash. This one's a little bit, this one's kind of tough to call. I'm going to say, in a surprise, I would say I'm going to say Oilers in seven on this one because I think they're going to have a little bit more jump, and I think that the Sharks are just maybe a little bit worn out. They're kind of in a bind. They're kind of being caught in a bad situation here, bad timing, and I think the Oilers' youth and energy is going to win out in this case because the Sharks have just played so much hockey over the course of the last calendar year. So I think the Oilers will win out in this one, so I say I'm going to pick them in seven. I don't know if I said six or seven. I'll say Oilers in seven. It'll be close, but I think the Oilers will win out in seven. Okay, jumping back over to the East. First matchup listed there. Les Montreal, les Canadiens de Montréal versus the New York Rangers. Let's see here. We've seen this before. We've got Carey Price on one end and Shea Weber in front of him this time versus the Rangers, who are kind of a hard team to figure out. They don't look all that great on paper, but they find a lot of different ways to win. And, of course, they've got Henrik Lundqvist, the King, still backstopping them, although he doesn't look to be as great as he once was. I think he's lost a bit of his edge. And he's now at the beginning of what's going to be a slow decline. So, there's no bust out offensive force on that team. I don't know. I look up and down that roster. Nobody really impresses me. You know, they've got pesky forwards that can cause problems, like Kevin Hayes every once in a while, but nobody that's like they used to have Marian Gaborik. You know, they don't anymore. Nobody of that caliber. Honestly, I don't think the Rangers have a chance in this series unless Chris Kreider takes another run at Carey Price, like he always does. And so I say in this one, I'm going to give it to the Canadians in six. This is going to be a very pedestrian series. I don't plan on watching any of it. But I say the Canadians in six. I just think they have that too much of an edge. They've been playing much better now that Claude Julien has taken over behind the bench. They have renewed vigor and attitude, and playing much better overall as, you know, the system and possession and all of that. I think Canadians are going to be overlooked in general over the course of this year's playoffs. They're going to be a little bit more of a force than most people are thinking here. So as the playoffs go on, I think they're going to be something of a sleeper pick. So I would watch for them, but definitely going to get past the Rangers here. Five, maybe six games here. I don't see it going past that. Next matchup is also in the Central, Senators, Ottawa Senators versus the Boston Bruins. And yeah, this one's also a little hard to make up. It's the return of Guy friggin' Boucher to the playoffs, which honestly nobody wanted to see, and he's facing a team that's coached by somebody else I can't friggin' stand, and that's Bruce Cassidy. And I don't know, this is another matchup I really don't think I'm going to spend much time on at all. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. This one, if there was a pick'em option, that it would be in this series. I don't know. This one is a complete toss-up to me, because Craig Anderson has had an emotional roller coaster of a season, obviously, and whenever he's played, he's been solid. But is that going to affect him? Is he going to have enough in the tank to survive what is going to be the grind against what is still a physical force in the Bruins? And I don't know. And they've got Brad Marchand, who's you know, not only continuing to be a pest, but also an emerging offensive force with his 30 plus goals again. And so I don't know. This one's going to be close. I don't know if it's going to go seven or not, but to be honest, I don't care. And I don't know. If I had you put a pea shooter to my head, I guess I would have to say the Bruins, but I don't know in how many games they might eke out a win so that we have a wonderful. I'm going to say Bruins because I kind of want to see the Bruins and the Canadiens once again. That's always a fun series to watch. So I'm going to say the Bruins because that's the series I want to have happen. Next, we switch over to the Metro. And, of course, they're the second and third place, Pittsburgh Penguins and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Okay, well, this one obviously of some significance to us here in Washington, because the winner of this series will play the winner of our series. So it bears worth repeating that this, the divisional format, this is widely regarded as the most unfair series because the both of these teams have had a pretty good year and deserved a better fate. I think in an ideal world, one of them would have played the Bruins and the other would have played like the Rangers maybe. And that's how it ought to be because you fight through, you get 100 points and you do everything right. And then you have to fall into a tough first round matchup. So I can understand the argument that some put forth that the current divisional format in the playoffs is unfair. And it is. It just plain is. But they did it to create rivalries, and this is a budding rivalry. It's not a long-time rivalry, but you've got the Western Pennsylvania region versus Ohio, which has always been, you know, traditionally in the sports world something that's produced pretty good matchups, and no different here. The Penguins, of course, going into the postseason without their top defender, Chris Letang, who, of course, the announcement was made that he will be out for the next 4 to 6 months and therefore will miss the entire run of the playoffs. That versus a team that is probably, no offense to Braden Holtby, but right now has the hottest goalie on the planet. Not that he cannot be beaten. Not that he has anything of a track record that's all that impressive, at least in the playoffs, but you take stock in the way he's been playing lately, which, as we all know, that's what it comes down to, at least in the first round, then the Penguins have a tough out here. This is probably the series that is you can pretty much bet on to go all seven games. It will go the distance. I will be shocked if it ends in less than seven games. I will be very surprised if it doesn't go all seven games because these two are so evenly matched. There's a lot of talent on both sides. The decor alone on the Blue Jackets, they can match up with anybody. That's Seth Jones, rookie Aaron Werenski. They can match up with just about anybody in the league. They're not going to be an easy out by any means, but based on sheer experience and will and the fact that Mike Sullivan always has this team prepared, which is why they have survived so many injuries, not just Letang, but a lot of players this year have been in and out of the lineup. The mark of a good coach is if you can survive that and have your team play at a consistently high level, despite not having consistent people in the lineup, then I think that's the mark of a good coach. And Mike Sullivan has this team playing at a high level, has had this team playing at a high level all year long. I don't see a drop-off. It's very disappointing for all concerned that Letang will not be available because as a Caps fan, I said this in a post, we want to, if eventually the Capitals are going to face the Penguins, I would want them at 100% so there's no excuses so that we can say, look, we beat the champs at their best, so we deserve to lay claim to the title, bar none. And unfortunately, that's not going to be because, unfortunately, Letang is out. But you got to keep going. And again, I would not underestimate this team at all. This one's going to be close. I'm not going to lie. You cannot underestimate this team. So I'm going to say Penguins in seven. It's going to be very close. I don't doubt for a second that a lot of the games, maybe not all of the games, but a lot of the games are probably going to be decided by one goal. Two at the most. Two goals or one in each game. So watch for that. That's going to probably be the most, other than, of course, this next one I'm about to describe, that's probably going to be the most exciting series to watch because they're just so evenly matched. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, now get to the guts of it. Okay, so the one we've all been waiting for. We're playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. And look, everybody, I don't think there's anybody out there that is seriously thinking that Toronto has a chance against the Capitals. I'm trying not to be arrogant about it, but the fact of the matter is that the only thing that Toronto has going for it right now is they've got the world's most expensive coach in Mike Babcock. Notice I said world's most expensive, not best. Babcock is a good preparer. He is a good tutor. He is good at everything on as far as managing a team behind the bench. Doesn't mean he's the best, though. I just mentioned a coach that is probably should be the perennial favorite, I would say, for the Jack Adams Award as Coach of the Year. And again, that being Mike Sullivan. So again, best does not mean most expensive. And by the commutative property, most expensive certainly doesn't mean best here. So all the experience in the world that he's got is not going to be worth a pile of road apples against the Caps, I don't think. Now, yes, they've got speed, they've got youth, they've got exuberance, bar none in not only Austin Matthews, of course, who's probably going to end up winning the Calder Trophy, but also Mitch Marner, also William Nylander. Again, yes, he's son of that Nylander. But I don't think for a single second you saw how they played. It was a recent game. That I'm sorry, but that's going to be the indication of how this series is going to go, because the Caps are just too sound on both sides of the ice, both sides of the puck, offensively and defensively. There's a lot to be excited about if you're a Caps fan. Alexander Ovechkin, I hate to point this out, but this is obviously his lowest goal scoring output since the lockout season, and it didn't really matter worth a hoot, because you had TJ Oshie putting up goals. You had the second and third lines chipping in. You had Marcus Johansson putting up a 20-goal season, for crying out loud. There's nothing to worry about as far as this offense drying up. I don't see that happening. You're not going to have anything in the way of running into a hot goalie this year. I don't think that's going to happen. That's worry number one. Are we going to be locked again? No. Frederick Anderson's a pretty good goalie, but he's no Sergei Bobrovsky. He's no Halak in those days. I wouldn't even put him in the top five. I mean, he's a decent goalie, but I would not consider him formidable. The Leafs are, on the whole, not all that physical. So when the chippy play starts ramping up, which it always does, as we all know, in the playoffs, I'm not saying they're going to shy away, but they're going to come out on the short end of that. They don't really have the closest thing they have to someone that can maybe do the dirty work and draw penalties is Nazem Kadri. And while he's definitely improved, I'm not overwhelmed by his game, not in the least. So, you know, I don't know. Everybody with some chops that has watched the game for a long, long time, that gets paid to do so, unlike me, is saying that this basically is going to be a learning experience for the youth of this team in how to conduct themselves, how to play, how to win, how to be successful in the playoffs. They're going to be studying at the feet of the master, as it were. If that's accurate at all, and at least in the first round, and we know how to win in the first round. And so that's what this is going to turn into be. So I don't know. I don't want to dismiss the Leafs, because, you know, it's too easy to do that, but it's also too hard to see them you know, doing anything in within this series. They will probably steal a game, and they will steal maybe one game if the Capitals don't get their focus going right away. It may go six, but I don't see the Maple Leafs winning this out. I don't see an upset happening. It will be a complete shock. It will cause certainly wholesale changes. Not that they're already not coming, but if the Toronto Maple Leafs win this series, it will be a complete and total shock to the whole league. I just don't see it happening. But stranger things have happened. Underdogs do win series. That's why they play the game. But I would have to nail it down. If I have to make a prediction, I have to nail it to Caps in five. I think the Leafs can steal a game. I don't see it being a sweep. I think they're good enough to steal a game. It could end up being a sweep, but certainly the Capitals have far more talent, poise, and structure to win this series out and move on to the second round. And that, of course, is where we're all going to see what we've been waiting for. So that's the end of that analysis. Now, I want to point out, though, that also the fact that this series, of course, is played against the team in the National Hockey League that lives in the hockey media capital of the world, that being Toronto. And so I want to focus for the next few minutes, if I can, on the this podcast being partially built on the foundation that it is meant to be a survival guide for the psychological sense. If you are a Caps fan, long term, short term, it doesn't matter. The only element I'm seeing, and as I said, Toronto, the Leafs, I don't really give them a chance, even though they're a decent team. But the element that could cause a problem, as it were, is the psychological one. The Capitals have unfortunately built themselves a reputation of, well, let's not sugarcoat it, being playoff choke artists. There's no sense sugarcoating it. There's no sense playing nice about it. It's the truth. I'm a student of history. I'm more cognizant of it than a lot of folks are, and it's very painful. But I think if they go in with the attitude of that history is history, it means nothing. It means very little. This is 2017. This is not 1987, okay? This is 2017. This is not 2010. This is not last year. This is 2016, or 2017, rather. It is a brand new day. Now, Toronto being the media capital of hockey, they will make as much hay as they can. They will pour on as much ink-flavored gasoline as they can on the fact that the Caps can be psychologically fragile. And if maybe Frederik Andersen has a really good game, they can get into their heads. Maybe if they steal game one, they get down early. Who knows? It's hard to say. So, and it's already begun. Don Cherry has already put out an article, and there's a certain writer also that's made a bit of a name for himself, named Damian Cox, so much so to the point that even people in Toronto can't stand the bastard, who has always seemed to have it in for Washington for a while now. A few years ago, he helped write an unauthorized biography of Alexander Ovechkin that, frankly, from all parties who've read the thing, I haven't read it, but from all reviews concerned, say it contains a lot of BS. He's spewed a lot of venomous BS against owner Ted Leonsis in particular, And I'll quote, he has drunk deeply from the trough that is revenue sharing. That is not true. There are a lot of hockey media types out there that do nothing but spread falsehoods to perpetuate their own status. And I've mentioned a few from time to time on this podcast, but none worse at this than one Mr. Damian Cox. And we all know what Don Cherry is capable of. There was once upon a time, there was actually a time, I might have mentioned this a while ago, there was a time where Don Cherry was actually respectable. There was a time where he dispensed advice and commentary that, you know, had made some sense, had some place. He's had some good things to say about Alex Ovechkin. But I don't know. I don't know if it's just that he's just too old and the game has passed him by and he doesn't realize what the game has become, what it is now, if he's just stuck in 1955 or whatever it is. But his views of the game just don't match up anymore. So his reality is not the same as everybody else's. So basically what it comes down to is, and I think everybody knows this, it's not worth listening to. The venom, the noise that they're putting out, and there are others. It's not just these two. It's the Toronto media machine as a whole. It's noise. It's venom. Of course, it's meant to get into the heads of not only we, the Capitals fans, but of course the players as well. Because nothing would sell great as clickbait or, you know, even newspaper sales or whatever in the blowhard capital of hockey, other than the Leafs upsetting the Capitals. And that's not going to happen. And clearly, the media is designed to get into the heads of everybody so that that has a chance of happening. Well, it's not going to happen. And it's our responsibility as Caps fans, I feel, to not let that happen, at least as far as our part. Doesn't matter if there's a call that's overturned. Doesn't matter if there's something that happens, mistakes happen, what have you, there's injuries. We can't let down for a single second. And I'm going to sound like Tony Robbins or one of those, you know, personal power type people that, you know, one of those self-help coaches, but it's true. You know, the positive energy that we hold as fans does translate to the playing field. And that's why we're there. You know, there's a saying, fans attend games, but fanatics help win them. We have to be fanatics in that we have to hang on to that positive energy because we know what this team can do. We know top to bottom that the 2017 Washington Capitals are the best in the NHL. It is now the time to prove it. The regular season was great, but it's now the time to prove it. And all they have to do is rise to the challenge. It's not an easy thing, but we maintain that positivity. We know what this team can do. Now, again, this is not last year. This is not 2010. We are going to bury the ghost of playoffs past. I love history. I love hockey history. But I tell you what, right now, none of it means crap. All of that stuff that happened before, all of the failures, all of the sweat, all of the tears, all of the everything that made us want to collectively pound our fist into the wall year after year after year without coming away with that cup, all of that we've got to put away. Put it all away for good. Focus on the now. This team only has the now when it comes to reality. There's right now, and there's the next 2.5 months. That's it. That is where everybody has to have their head. If you, whether you're a fan, whether you're on the coaching staff, whether you're playing, whether you're trainers, even the guy cleaning up in the locker room, they all have to have that mentality that it's now and the next 2 months. And that's it. That's it, folks. That's what's in front of them. And we as loyal supporters of this team that has existed for 43 years, well, it's about time. It's about time they came away with Lord Stanley's chalice. And this is step number one. Step number one is going to take place at the Verizon Center in 2 days. Game one against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the fact that they happen to be from the hockey media capital should not mean horse dung. Need to roll through this team and then face whatever challenge comes next. Not look past them. Take it one game at a time. But it's going to happen. Know that it's going to happen. Step on the ice like you know you're going to take over. And that's how it gets done. All of the great teams, they have that approach. And so I want to see that. I want to see that in my fellow Caps fans. I want to see that in my team. And I think that's all that needs to be said. So I just want to step away from that for a moment. Give some due through some non-Caps news. I know I should have covered this before I went on this. But congratulations to the United States women's national hockey team. They won the this year's ice hockey championships, world championships, against Canada in the final. Hillary Knight scoring the game-winning goal. Now, aren't we all glad that they got that pay dispute settled? Because they came home with yet another gold medal. And that's going to be great. By the way, folks, since the men are going to be deprived of the NHL talent, I think that's all the more reason. If there's a silver lining to this, that is more of an excuse, I would say, more of a reason, I would say, to give the women's game a little bit more of their due. Catch some of those games. Now, they're probably not going to be, you know, it's still a widening talent pool. I think Sweden and Finland are starting to catch up. The Russian women are starting to catch up. But of course, it's always been U.S. and Canada. But those games, when those two play, it's always worth watching. So just want to put that out there. If there's a silver lining in all of this, maybe, you know, the women's game will start to earn a bit more of a spotlight and attention in the Olympics. Now that the NHL's men are not going to be participating. And just want to put in a word about the coaching carousel. A few teams have dismissed their coaching staffs already. The big surprise, I would say, being most recent last night, both GM and coach Dean Lombardi and Daryl Sutter being informed that their services are no longer required. I haven't listened to the most recent edition of the Puck podcast. I'm anxious to hear Mr. Eddie Garcia's opinion on that. That's happened. Lindy Ruff in Dallas has been told he's not going to be retained. Willie Desjardins in Vancouver is out of a job. So counting the vegan Golden Knights, you've got one, two, three slots that need to be filled. So I'm sure a Gerard Gallant will be. I'm sure he's probably getting a lot of phone calls. I'd be very surprised if he's not, but that's just my opinion. So don't want to wander too much off topic, but that's for off season, and we'll discuss that a little more once that comes around. But of course, as I said, the focus is on the Caps. They know what their task is in front of them. They know what they have to do. Would I like to see a sweep? Yes. Surely allow them some time to heal some bumps and bruises. Hopefully John Carlson makes his way back to the lineup, but I'm not worried. We've seen how Nate Schmidt has played. I think he's learned from his mistakes in the past. I think the team as a whole has learned from their mistakes from the past. That's what the past is good for, but they need to bury that, leave it behind, and move forward. And I think they will, and it starts Thursday night. I will see you all on Facebook. I will try to follow the game thread there. I will see you all on Twitter as well. Try to be posting back and forth on both of those. Twitter handle is BLULINER98, BlueLiner98. As always, if you have a question between now and then, email is glhallowed@yahoo.com. And I have been informed that I have an Instagram account, and so I might be playing with that a bit as well. But there are many different ways you can find me and contact me. I will be everywhere as much as I can. I'd love to hear your feedback, love to hear other Caps fans' analysis of the game as it's happening. Always fun to watch. And, of course, there's the usual suspects, Tariq El-Bashir, the Dump and Chase blog with Mike Vogel, CSN, Alan May, Joe Beninati, Craig Lachlan, his daughter Courtney. She's got some good insights, I think, as well. A lot of different sources you can draw from that will definitely have eyes on this series, but this will be a good barometer, good litmus test to see how far they can go and what they can do. Toronto's a very speedy team, as I've mentioned, got a lot of youth and energy. If they can contain that, it bodes well for what will happen down the road in the 2017 Stanley Cup playoffs. So with that in mind, keep both eyes peeled, keep your heads held high, keep the positive energy going, drown out the noise. There's going to be a lot of it. Don't let the negativity in. And as always, of course, let's go Caps.